Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, brought to you by Boston Connect Real Estate Services. Connect with Sharon now at 781-837-4900 and online at bostonconnect.com. Now, here's Sharon McNamara.
And good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Whoops, here on WATD. We're just fiddling around here with all of our things. I believe that you're orange. There you go. How's that sound? A lot better. You can control that. You are green, and there's your microphone. Sorry, Jesse. Jesse is manning the phones right now. Larry is watching. I'm sorry, Larry. Usually we're a little more organized than this. I just want to let you know. So, again, good morning. This is Sharon McNamara. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate. Thank you for joining us here today. We have a really good show today. Actually, we did the show at the beginning of the year, maybe, I think. But I first just want to start, and just obviously, I'm sure everyone in this table, and I'm sure people have already said it this morning, our condolences are going out to everybody in Paris and France right now, because it is such a horrific thing that is going on there, and my heart is literally bleeding for everybody over there that had to go through all of that and is still going through that. So my thoughts and prayers are with all of the families who maybe lost someone or is injured or has to deal with this right now. It's heartbreaking. Yeah, and again, Bob Gleason is here with me this morning. He just pointed at me. He's one of our agents at Boston Connect. As everybody knows, my daughter Casey is studying abroad right now, and these kids travel from country to country because it's so easy to travel over in these European states. No one needs a passport. But she called me. She is safe and sound, and her trip to Paris will be canceled by her mother. So she's supposed to go in a couple weeks. So Casey May is fine. So we also have Rich, the Crackman Commerce, with us this morning. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You were here very early, bright and early. I was here a little early in all reality. You know, usually I'm here, a minute before. Mm-hmm. So I showed up here on time today. I love having our show with you because, you know, there aren't a lot of people out there that I feel confident referring to. And I've referred a couple people to you. I don't know when they do, if they ever tell you that Sharon referred you.
I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So why don't we start with telling everybody, obviously, you are the crack man for a reason. The name of your company is A1 Foundation Crack Repair. Everybody wants to know, what got you into dealing with cracks?
It was totally by mistake. We were buying houses, and we picked up a house that it already had a fire, and we knocked it down, kept the foundation, built a house on top of it, and the buyer wanted us to finish the basement, and there was cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what didn't work from past experience, such as putting hydraulic cement over the crack. It will just leak again if we had done that, which a lot of homeowners and contractors do. So I talked to some chemist engineers, played with some techniques, fixed it, and it's amazing the way a business can start.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having breakfast with another builder, a friend of mine, that builds quite a bit of units, and we're talking about the crack in the basement that I repaired. And he said, you know, I have about three or four in some of the houses that I built. Could you fix them?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sure. And a light bulb dawned.
I'm going to call myself the crack man.
That's right. In fact, my license plate says CRKMAN.
Oh, does it? Yes, really?
It does.
That's so funny. Yeah, I didn't notice that out in the parking lot. Mine's BCRE, and people ask me what it means, and I was like, I don't know. I own Boston Connect Real Estate. So, no, I think that that's great. Well, and that is really how people, I mean, I initially had no intentions of really getting into real estate, and you never know what's going to bring you what direction. So 15 years ago when I thought that this was a great idea, look at where we are now. So one of the things that comes up, excuse me, I'm sorry, Jesse, that I have like a little bit of a frog in my throat here. One of the questions that comes up all the time is, what would you consider to be, quote unquote, a normal crack? Or when are we looking at things that tend to be a little bit more than that?
Okay. First of all, there's three things in life you're sure on. One is death. One is paying taxes. And the third is, if you have concrete, it's going to crack. It's a normal occurrence.
Yep.
When you want to be concerned about it is, one, if it's leaking.
Yep.
Also, if you're buying a house, there's basically two kinds of cracks. Ones that are leaking and ones that are going to leak.
Okay.
The ones you want to be concerned about structurally is ones that come off at a great angle.
Okay.
For instance, off of a corner, and that comes off at a great angle. Or ones that go horizontal.
Okay.
These things can all be fixed. Also, you want to be concerned if when you're looking at the crack and you put your hand across the crack, we'll say the crack goes up and down.
Okay.
And you put your hand at a 90-degree angle to the crack where one side of the crack is further ahead or behind than the other.
Okay.
These are things you want to be concerned of, that they're structural.
Because that would probably, my guess is you can see that there's actually shifting going on versus the cement just sort of coming apart.
Exactly. And if there is a crack where one of the cracks, a side of the crack, is further ahead by an eighth of an inch, nothing to be concerned about. If it's a quarter of an inch or greater, you want to start questioning it.
Okay. So I know that obviously the name of your company is A1 Foundation Cracks. What about, I know that that's what you're repairing and everything, but do you have a good sense if you're walking through a house? Because we get this all the time too, when we're seeing cracks throughout a house too. Do people tend to ask you those questions too, or do you say, I'm just here to really do the foundation stuff?
No, we are answering questions all the time. Our claim to fame is that we answer the phone from 7 in the morning till 9 at night, 7 days a week, so that when people are looking at a house at 5:15 on Saturday afternoon, and they've looked at 30 houses already, and they love the house, but then there's a crack downstairs, let's focus on the crack, and there's a crack downstairs, you can call me then.
Okay.
Is we do answer the phone, as I said, 7 days a week.
Yep.
You'll talk to myself in most cases, and I'll describe the crack to you.
Yep.
I'll answer questions about the crack. You know, now we have phones that we can take pictures.
The pictures, I was just going to say that, yeah.
And we can take care of, usually I can tell you exactly how much it's going to cost from the conversation. Mm-hmm. And you have an expert right there with you.
That is really important, because I want that for two standpoints. One, as a buyer's agent, I think that it makes a lot of sense, because we want to make sure that our clients aren't getting into something that might be more than just a simple crack. But as from a seller's perspective, I think it's really good too, because you know, buyers always, they'll go in there and say, well, that's going to be $5,000. You know, everything is, you know, $5,000 in a buyer's eyes, where it might be potentially $500. Right?
Exactly. And especially now with the changes in the mortgages, where you apply for a mortgage and then they have, I think it's 3 days to get a disclosure out to you. And if you then negotiate it, then you have to reapply, and then the disclosure time starts again. So it's crucial, if you're listing a property and there is a crack or a defect, that you know about it, take care of it ahead of time, because one, some people are going to run out of the house because there is a crack in a foundation, and it's not a big deal in most cases. Two is, so you've lost buyers because some people run out. Two is, who's coming in next is the home inspector. And some home inspectors have great bedside manners. Some home inspectors don't.
The sky is falling.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they're trained to put, if they are not experts in something, to say, contact an expert. That's what the attorneys tell home inspectors to do.
A good buyer's agent is going to tell them to do that as well, too. I always tell people, you know, when in a situation like this, call in the experts.
And you can have me right on the phone.
Yeah.
Immediately. And even if the deal's going well, the home inspector says it's just a shrinkage or settlement crack, not a big deal, but you probably should get it filled. Who's coming in next is the appraiser for the bank.
Yeah.
And I've seen it again and again where the appraiser for the bank comes in, notes it on his form, then it goes to underwriting.
Yeah.
The underwriter sees this, and then it becomes a big deal. They want a structural engineer to come in for a non-structural crack where it costs less to have it repaired by us than to have a structural engineer come in.
Yeah. And when we get to that point, too, I wish I had a button where I could control some of the sounds, too, because I want, like, the screeching brakes that come on, right? Because that's really when things are going to stop, come to a stop. So you are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. I know I don't sound cheery today, but I think the whole Paris thing has me a little down today. But Jesse is here manning the phones. I see Larry in the other room as well. And Larry's one of my favorites here, WATD2. 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. Is the phone number. If you have any questions in regard to concerns that you may have about some cracks, settlement cracks, what are the differences, some different things that are going on with your house, today's the perfect day to call because we have the crack man here with us, but we'll also call you your real name, which is Rich Commerce. I always have to look at your last name because I don't want to say Commerce. I want to say like Commerce or something, but that sounds fancy. We also have Uncle Bobby here, a.k.a. Bob Gleason. That's sort of an office joke that we have for Bob. So Bob Gleason is also one of our full-time agents over at Boston Connect Real Estate, and he is here this morning, too. He's not saying much. I mean, he's busy over there on his iPad. Did you come here to work this morning?
A little bit, but I did have a question for Rich. I'm curious as to, you see a crack in your basement in my house particular, it's in the basement and it's in the garage, one of the garages. It's underneath the house, the garage. And there are cracks in there. Every spring or so, I see the colony of ants moving up again. The little ones, they're coming up into my garage. So my question is, I'm assuming that crack goes all the way down through the concrete to the ground underneath, so I don't think ants can cut their way through concrete. I'm not sure about that, but so is the crack all the way down to the bottom, underneath the garage, and is that a big concern? If the ants are working down there, can they create like a pothole or something like that underneath there that will, you know, depress the concrete over time? And the other question I had is, what type of material do you use to fill in the cracks? Is it concrete? Is it a composite of some sort?
Yeah. To answer that question, first let me speak of concrete. Concrete is strong if you push down on it. It's not that strong when you push in, like on a wall. And the way concrete cracks is if you think of a piece of raw spaghetti and somebody says, just crack it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to crack it a little bit.
Yeah, even with linguine. I mean, angel hair for sure you can't do.
So that's the structure. Then to deal with the, I imagine you're talking about a crack in the floor of it. First of all, why do you get cracks in the floor of a garage? Usually you get cracks in the floor of the garages because they didn't create what's called expansion joints.
Yeah.
If you look outside on a concrete sidewalk, you see lines every 4 feet or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go to a big box store where it's a concrete floor, you see lines. Those are expansion joints because they know concrete does expand and contract. And most builders or floor guys don't put the lines in residential.
Why? What would be the big deal to do that? That's what I want to know. I mean, we have around our pool, we have the concrete around it. I mean, our pool is older now. Everyone's doing that stamped concrete. But we don't have a single solitary crack because whoever did ours did a really nice job with those, what you're talking about.
Yeah. Laziness is the only reason I could say.
Rich, let's just be honest here. This is what it comes down to.
I imagine it just takes more time, more labor that's involved.
A little more, another step. What happens is the ants cause a pocket. Water could seep from underneath someplace else, and then you get continual washout underneath. and then we don't know how thick the concrete is or how what the PSIs are, and then you're driving a heavy car on it.
Yeah.
So why do people repair cracks in garage floors? They may not look as appealing. Also, is that the corners of the cracks will crumble and get bigger and bigger. Also, the car comes in, it has water in it, on it, gets to the cracks, freezes, opens it up, along with the salts, which causes the ice or snow to melt again, the ice melt does. It penetrates the concrete, and then it freezes again, and the concrete will spall. And while we're speaking about garages, oftentimes you see at the end of the garage, where the garage door comes down, the concrete's broken.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, it's very common. They don't put a footing underneath there.
Okay.
Or the old garage doors were very heavy, and they come down, slamming down. So we do a lot of breaking the concrete, cutting the concrete at the end, the maybe a foot or two from the end, putting rebar in, tying it in with rebar, and then pouring concrete.
Okay. So you do, that's, that, I didn't realize you did extensive work like that, too. I thought that you were mostly doing sort of crack foundation work. Do you do... Why don't I ask, what is the biggest scope of something that you've had to repair?
Well, it's not a sexy thing, but...
you know, well, do you want to think about it and we can take
a break? No, I know.
You know, okay, first, go ahead.
Commercial work, a waste treatment plants.
Okay.
They have big 75-yard by 25-yard wide by 28 feet high tanks that we make sure they clean out.
Yeah.
And they do aeration, and those are 18 inches thick, and they leak. So we're contracted to go in and to repair them.
Okay.
And to answer your question, what materials do we use, is we look at the crack itself, because just like when you go to a doctor, if you have a stomach ache, he doesn't treat all stomach aches the same way. We use weave carbon fiber blankets. That's where we put a material in the crack and then a weave carbon fiber blanket on top of that. Gives it some extra strength also. We also do an injection process of a closed cell polymer resin. And we do that by drilling at angles to the crack every 6 to 8 inches, putting our ports in, and then bring an electric pump in and connecting it to each port and injecting a polymer resin that will go through the port, through the hole we drilled to the middle of the crack, and it will follow it all the way outside and form a gasket outside and fill in the crack. There's carbon fiber staples. There's about 16 different ways to repair different situations.
Do you believe that every crack needs to be repaired? What if you just have, you know, just a, you know, a simple little, I guess, is it considered a stress crack? Is that true for a foundation, or is there something more going on if you have one?
No. Concrete can crack simply because of the weather when it was poured. It was too hot. It was too cold.
You
know, if a crack isn't leaking, you see it above grade, and let's say it's one of the unusual ones that you don't see on the inside below grade, you know, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. Okay.
At all to deal with.
Okay.
We get cracks on cement floors, but to answer your question, what else do we deal with? Around bulkheads, they leak. They can leak from on top. They can leak where the precast bulkhead meets the foundation wall, which is very common. Around pipe penetrations, those leak all the time. Tie rods, the little metal dimples that are in the, in your foundation, those leak because there's moisture that causes the rust to happen, and they leak.
So I think that that's important for us to actually say, too, is because even though you're you gave yourself the nickname. You wrote it here on my piece of paper. So I'm not being rude here, Uncle Bobby. It says Crack Man. I'll stop calling you Uncle Bobby, by the way. It's Bob Gleason. You're not just dealing with crack. So you're really dealing with any type of foundation issue that may have water penetrating through it. Because those little divot thingies that you're talking about, everything in my world, by the way, is a thingy. So, okay. So those things that you're talking about, so when water is penetrating through those, so you're, that isn't necessarily a crack, but it is a concern. So you can do your services around all of those as well.
Exactly. Also, if it's leaking where the floor and the wall meet, we can take care of that with an injection. And a big question that comes up, do I really need to get one of those perimeter drains or French drains in the house for $6,000 to $12,000? In most cases, the answer is no.
Okay.
The only reason you would do that is if it's clay underneath. The idea of a sump pump is to take water out from underneath the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you break a hole in the floor, dig down, put a basin in, and a pump, water wants to go to the point of least resistance, which is that hole that we put in.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, it will go there as long as there's no obstructions between where we put the pump in and where the water is coming in.
Okay. Do you do sump pump?
Yes, we do sump pump installations.
Okay.
We don't do perimeter drains because I really don't believe most cases need them. A sump pump is between $900 and $1,200, whereas perimeter drains are $6,000 to $12,000.
Yeah, it's right there on your card. I don't know why I never really realized that.
Another thing that home inspectors are always looking at is lally columns.
Yeah. Okay. That's funny that you bring that up. I had this conversation with somebody recently. Okay. Let's hear your story on lally columns.
Well, I'm going to give you a bit of trivia first.
Oh, okay. I love trivia. I'm really bad at it, by the way. Bob and I actually just did a trivia night at our local board over at Pass. And, well, we didn't come in last. Well, that's the good news.
Close.
Yeah.
A guy years and years ago noticed that when there was a fire, the house would fall into the foundation. So he got the idea, if I put some supports under the main beam, it's probably not going to fall into the house, into the basement. This guy was a guy in Waltham, Mass., and guess what his name was?
David Lally.
You got it.
What was his first name?
I don't know his first
name. Well, let's just say it was David, and then I say, I'm right, and I ding, 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 yay!
It was Lally.
It was Lally.
So what home inspectors are trained to look at is lally columns.
Mm-hmm.
They can be made of tree trunks.
Yeah.
They can be the temporary lally columns that have the screw jacks on top.
Inspectors, by the way, do not like those at all. I'll let you know. Every time we see one that's a temporary one, they do not like it at all.
And they look at, is one all rusted at the bottom? Or hollow?
Yeah.
They don't want hollow one. Because today's code says the lally column has to be concrete-filled metal.
Concrete-filled metal. And how far apart? Again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara here, along with Bob Gleason from Boston Connect Real Estate and A1 Foundation Crack Repair Company, who does much more than cracks. So we have Rich Crackman Commerce. I have to always look at the last name, Commerce. So if you have any questions for us, we're going to skip right through the 10:20 commercial break because you don't have a commercial anyway. So we'll just do the 10:40 commercial break if that's okay, Jesse. That's good. 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. We have open lines. So if you have any questions for us, please give us a call. So anything that has to deal with water penetrating a house, now we're talking about lally columns. So if you have any questions, give us a call because Rich is here.
Anything with basements we can work off on or concrete.
Perfect.
With the lally columns, what has to be, why they pick on the temporary lally columns is because in most cases, one, it's against code. Two is in most cases, somebody just threw up a lally column, temporary, and they put it on the cement floor.
Okay.
The cement floor is only 3 or 4 inches thick. It's not made to hold the house, the support of the house.
Okay.
What we have to do is break a hole in the floor, dig down, pour concrete, let it set up, and then custom cut the lally column to fit.
Okay.
But on top of the lally column, what needs to be put is a thick piece of steel that has a cup on it for the Lally column to sit in, and then it's bolted into the beam.
Okay. So that cup thing goes in the ground? Is that what you're saying?
It goes on top.
The ceiling. Oh, okay. You guys make me so smart. I have the best co-host, don't you think?
Yes.
Because honest to goodness, the next time I go to a home inspection, I'm going to just say, well, hey, I'm going to tell you how those are supposed to be done. I'm going to say, and Rich told me how to do it. How far apart are Lally columns supposed to be? Do you know?
It depends on the particular
town. Well, now you sound like an attorney. It depends. That's their answer for everything.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It depends on the town. How much support is there?
It's probably calculation.
And they look at what is it holding up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How thick of the wood is the wood that's being held up?
Yeah, because I'm actually very fortunate in this business that I do know a lot of people. And one of the foremen that I used to work with is actually the building inspector for one of our local towns. And I text him things all the time. And I recently did ask him this question because it did come up, as I said, in a home I was looking at. And he said it's probably about 8 feet. But again, everything comes into those calculations. So...
Yeah. So can I ask a question?
What do you think?
Okay.
Should we let him? Yes.
I'm just curious. I know people that have used epoxy on their floors in the basement and in the garage. There's, because I heard years ago, too, that cement or concrete never really dries, and it's always flaking. That's why you always get dust. It's always dusty in the basement because it's continually...
Concrete dust, yeah.
Yeah, concrete dust. That's what it is. So if you were to put down a cement paint or an epoxy component on top of the cracks in the entire basement, does that solve any problems in terms of cracks?
No. It'll look nice.
Yeah, it'll look nice.
We don't know for how long because it's the prep work on that. Mm. That really takes into consideration because if you have a house that's, you know, there's been cars in and out and there's rubber from the tires on the concrete, all that has to be etched. It's got to be taken off somehow and then put it down. I've seen gone into garages where people have bought the Home Depot kits and they put it down and they ask me, well, how come it flaked up?
Yeah.
It's usually the prep. My guess would be it's usually the
prep. So do you get involved in any of that?
No. I don't want to be involved in that because I don't know what's been on that floor.
Yeah, so you can't really guarantee it or warranty it.
There are companies out there that will do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about the flaking or dusting that happens, there are some products out there that we use that actually penetrate into the pores of the concrete and will stop the dusting. Also similar products, because we also pour new concrete walkways and fix them and do steps that are broken and replace those. Is I recommend putting a crystallized quartz-based material that is perfectly clear. It penetrates the concrete microscopically, and as water hits it, the crystals grow within the pores of the concrete and doesn't allow the water to penetrate it, because again, it's the water that penetrates that concrete and then frees that causes the spalling and the pitting.
So do other parts of the country have the same issues that we... They must not have the same issues that we have, right? Because if they're never freezing and getting... I mean, think about ice and snow and everything that we have sitting on all of our concrete.
Yeah, other parts of the country have different issues. With us, if you think of it, an ice melt on snow and ice causes it to melt, penetrate the concrete, and the concrete flakes.
Yeah.
And it keeps doing that cycle.
Over and over.
I go to my wife laughs every time I say to about this this show that I go to. It's the largest concrete show in the world. It's called
in Vegas?
Yeah, the World of Concrete. And I go every year actually to get educated. I take courses there. And they have different problems. A lot of problems they have, like in Texas and where it's hot, is that the concrete shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and settles.
Oh, okay.
And then they have problems. So
yeah.
They use lifting of concrete. Even here, I have resources where if your basement floor has sunk,
yeah,
or a patio has sunk,
yeah,
we can do one of two things. Resurface it so it's even, or drill into that concrete,
mm-hmm,
and then inject a slurry or a polymer,
yeah,
that will raise it up.
Okay. It's interesting to me that the things that you are doing to really make sure that the repair is done completely. So when you were talking, I know, Bob, you had asked what materials you used, and I know you had said, and I want you to get into detail exactly with that, with the cracks and something to do with the plugs, but you're making sure that you're getting through that crack, no matter how small it is, I guess, all the way through, where I think a lot of homeowners think, oh, I'll just put some poly something or other on it, and then that will take care of it. So what are your suggestions for people in that?
Sure. We run into to situations all the time where brokers are calling us the last minute. My home, you know, they had on the list to check to fix a crack in the foundation. The homeowner puts some hydraulic cement, butter it up.
Yeah.
Or they buy
makes it
the way
it look worse, right?
Well, I don't care about aesthetics too much. I care about solving the issue, which is the water coming in. Or they're buying a tube and putting something in it, and the people wanted something with a warranty.
Yeah.
And they missed that part of it. They're calling on us last minute, can you come out and do that?
Mm-hmm.
So be aware, these things are Band-Aids.
Yeah. Well, why don't we answer that question? What do you do after the fact, after a homeowner has already gone through the process of doing it? You have to go in there and chip it all out and do it. Will you do that?
We'll do it if we need to. Oftentimes, if we're drilling at angles to the crack, that hydraulic cement can stay there or whatever, because we're kind of undermining it, because
mm-hmm.
we're going 3 inches, 2-3 inches off of the crack, drilling at an angle, so we're going to undermine it, because our goal is to get the crack filled out
mm-hmm.
towards the outside.
Now, the reason why I say, you may not care about the cosmetic aspect of it, but what I say to people before they put their house on the market, I'll walk around with them. A person recently actually called you, and I said, oh, well, with that crack, I said, you know, it's probably nothing, but what I would do is call you. I actually had your card when they came into the office and gave them one of the cards. And I said, you know, buyers are going to see that as being much more or being more of a concern. You might as well just see what it is. And if it is something, get it repaired. And if it isn't anything, then fine. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up getting it repaired and done. My worry with homeowners doing it, though, is if they cement it up themselves, I think they make it look worse than it probably was.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Right?
And you can't match color or concrete anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going, here's my concern, is I could do a beautiful cosmetic repair,
mm-hmm.
but it may not solve
the problem.
Mm-hmm. The problem is either somebody's concerned that water is going to come in,
mm-hmm.
or that it is structural.
Mm-hmm.
It is a basement.
Yeah.
It's not in your living room. But we have ways to make it look pretty. For instance, a weave carbon fiber blanket. We put a material in the crack and then a weave carbon fiber blanket on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
The carbon fiber blanket is black. It can be painted gray. Two coats of a latex paint, you barely notice it.
Yeah.
But the important thing is you have a piece of paper from a company that's been doing this for 16 years, that says this is warranted
mm-hmm.
against water infiltration for 10 years.
That's great. That's a really good warranty, don't you think, Bob?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it goes from how it's for the house, so if you sell the house, it will go on to the next buyer?
Sure, it goes to the next buyer. Some people will say to me, well, how come it's not lifetime? Massachusetts lifetime actually is 7 years.
Oh, okay.
But we give you a 10
I didn't know that.
Really?
So I'd rather be up front to
is that
people.
Really? Lifetime warranty is really 7 years?
Well, That's what I've been told by by attorneys. I'm not an attorney. Where can you get anything for lifetime?
Oh, yeah. No, seriously, you really can't. I mean, you certainly can't help what happens with the elements of things. And, you know, I mean, you can't warranty that if we had an earthquake. Not that we really have them around here, but we have.
I think this is a fascinating topic because it's something that is totally overlooked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be tongue-in-cheek, but it is the foundation of a house.
It certainly is.
It definitely is. Everything else is built on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that comes up, we're in New England. We have a lot of stone foundations.
Yep.
You go into a house that has a stone foundation, nine times out of ten, there's going to be powder with a floor in the wall meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the mortar that has crumbled over the years. These houses were built 80 to 200, 300 years ago.
Yeah.
It's more fun to put in a new kitchen than it is to repair a foundation.
Yeah.
But the mortar in between the stones is like the glue that holds it together.
So speaking of mortar, do you deal with chimneys at all? Like when there's cracks in chimneys?
No, we try to stay on the ground.
Okay.
we're basement dwellers.
Yeah, we know what we do well, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. But what you're saying, too, I mean, it really is true. I mean, the basement is the foundation of everything that's up above it. But if people are planning on doing their basement over at one time, so what? It's the basement. But if you're going to plan on doing it over, if water is coming through that, you certainly need to stop it, not put a Band-Aid on it.
And, you know, I don't know what it is, but over the years, I think that cracks know when to leak, to be a pain in the neck. I've had people finish their basements. They've been in the house 20 years and never leaked.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling me. We just put up sheetrock, and now it's leaking.
Yeah.
Don't rush the process. Get the crack repaired. Wait, go through a rainy season again. Mm-hmm. See if anything else leaks.
Okay. So I have so many jokes. You must hear them all. It's like a pain in the crack.
You just said
that the cracks are a pain. And then I thought a pain in the crack. All right, there we go. I said it out loud. Well, we have a caller. So we have Bill from Marshfield. Good morning, Bill.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What can we do for you today?
I had a question. You know, you watch these flip shows on TV all the time, and a lot of times they're from California or Texas and those areas. I'm curious to know what problems might exist with slab construction, whether it's old or new. Mm-hmm. What kind of concrete issues do you have?
That's a good question because we do have slab houses around here as well. There's a bunch, you know, like up in Rockland and stuff too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I in fact was brought up as a kid in a Campanelli slab.
I was just going to say Campanelli, yeah.
One of those two in Framingham.
I was brought up in Natick and Weathersfield, so there
okay.
you go. I know them well. I've bought and sold probably three of them that I had owned. Well, here once in a while I'll get a call, especially years ago we used to get calls that water's coming through the slab. Well, they put carpet over the slab, and they say it's coming through.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'll ask them is the water hot? And they'll usually say, yes. How do you know?
Heating system.
Heating system. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the copper that they put in was fine at the time. And the copper deteriorates from the lime and minerals in the concrete, so they pop little pinholes.
So let me understand this. So those pipes are inside the concrete in the slab.
In the floor, it was the way they heated.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And
great heat. Get up on a cold morning, your feet are nice and
so,
warm.
So sort of like a radiant heat, but it was copper pipes.
It was the first generation of radiant heat.
Okay, great. That's interesting. Yeah. I've learned so much today.
And they didn't have carpet. They didn't put carpet. It was tile back then. Mm-hmm. So it was nice and warm.
Okay.
And everything goes around, comes around again. Now we're into the open floor plans, and they need the heat again, so it's radiant, but they've learned not to put copper in. Other parts of the country, you know, they don't put basements in, and the problems that they have is that the soils aren't as good as we have here. We have glacier till here. There they have sand, and they have termites and ants, and they sink.
Yeah.
And that's where mud jacking, or the jacking that I talked about, is used very, very often.
Bill, did you have a specific question about a slab foundation, too? About, like, is there an issue that you've come across that you're sort of concerned about that prompted your question?
Well, no, I was just curious. I did live in one of those Campanelli slabs, and I often wondered how long the pipes would leak before they leaked. But I'm curious now about new construction. If you had a new construction home at current, you know, with current standards, whether or not they have issues with those?
No, they don't.
With the PEX, they use PEX tubing.
Yeah, I haven't heard any problems at all with the PEX tubing at all.
Mm-hmm.
My husband uses that, so I haven't heard. I usually hear things in the plumbing world around my house. I haven't heard any problems with that either. But I think, too, with the foundations, I don't know that many people are doing new construction right now with a slab anyways, right? So I don't think many people are doing that.
No, just some of the 55 and over.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, 55. There's one actually up in, Pudding Hill up here that Kevin Seelan did. I'm actually doing a project for him right now, and that was on a slab too. So what happens if that, how do you fix it now that the pipe is in there? You just let it go?
No, what they do, if it popped once, it's gonna pop other places. So what they do is they do baseboard hot water.
Oh.
And they run it up in the attic and then down, they snake it down.
Okay.
Sometimes concrete has to be broken and go in front of sliders and things like that.
And they just shut off the heat that was going through the pipes in the ground. That's a good idea. And I know, too, Bill, one of the things, I do a lot of new construction properties, and the builders that I'm working with, right now I'm working with Stonebridge, and they do, underneath their foundation, they do a really nice system with crushed stone and everything underneath, so that's helping alleviate any type of issue, I think, with water. They don't seem to have any water issues in their basements.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. I was just curious, and you've answered my questions.
Well, thank you. Well, have a great day.
You too. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Bill from Marshfield. Great question. If you have any questions for us, 781-837-4900. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation, so you can call Jesse at 781-837-4900. We'll be right back.
Sullivan, Garrity, and Donnelly Insurance is a full-service insurance agency offering a wide range of financial and insurance services. At SG&D, we have access to the strongest and most respected insurance and financial markets available to meet our personal and commercial insurance needs. Since 1922, we take pride in our commitment to providing unparalleled service at competitive prices. With more than 8 decades of experience and our ability to meet the complex insurance needs of today, we create the best solutions for our customers personally and professionally. We have convenient offices throughout Massachusetts, including Cohasset, Chatham, and Worcester. Please visit our website at sgdins.com or call 1-800-287-8501. Sullivan, Garrity, and Donnelly Insurance is a proud member of the Assure Alliance Group.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say. Do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, along here with Bob Gleason from Boston Connect Real Estate as well. He's one of our full-time real estate agents over there at Boston Connect Real Estate, doing a great job. And he has a but he does have an event coming up. So when we get to the doorbell, we'll make sure that you get an opportunity to talk about that.
Marvelous.
All good stuff. And we also have Foundation Crack Repair Inc. And he doesn't do just foundations. I'm so glad that I finally read his card thoroughly. But he does all kinds of other great things, and literally all things that I get questions on, which I'm really happy about. Do you replace bulkheads as well, or just fix and repair?
No, but I have people that I know that I can refer, that that's all they do is bulkheads.
Okay, I have people. That's like a New England thing, you know. I have a guy. That's what everybody says. I have a guy. I have a guy that will do that.
The name of the guy that does bulkheads is the bulkhead guy.
Oh, well, that's easy for
me.
That's easy for me to remember. I got the crack man here, Rich Commerce, and then I'll have the bulkhead guy. I'm going to be the real estate girl. How's that, lady?
There you go.
Yeah, I'll be the real estate lady. How's that sound? We do have somebody on the phone, though, so why don't we take this call from Doc Akabuchi from Pembroke, I believe, right? Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon and crew. How are you, lady? Real estate lady.
I am doing fabulous this morning. Thank you for calling. What's the question you have for us this morning?
Well, I know you're very successful at what you do.
Well, thank you.
Maybe you can give me some help. As you probably recall, I'm the director of a charity housing facility in Pembroke, which we serve seniors age 50 and above. Mm-hmm. And my question is this. I have a cottage for rent for a senior, and mm-hmm. what do you recommend is how do I reach out to seniors? What implementations, marketing tools, avenues could you suggest? Because we don't have to do this very often, and I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, so I know in the past that you've had your sign out in front of your yard, and when you're getting people who aren't seniors, you're always kind enough to, you know, give me a buzz. You know, for people, I feel like you're always just helping people find rentals because they're very difficult to come across right now. Bob is going to be doing an event later. He's going to talk about that has to deal with seniors. It's navigating that whole home buying and home selling. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, we're dealing with people who are selling a home and then purchasing another home where Doc is actually renting one of his units. Doc, are you on social media? I mean, it should be pretty easy.
At my age, social media is a new phenomenon, and it scares me.
All right. Well, you live literally around the corner from Boston Connect Real Estate. So my suggestion to you is one day you come over to the office, and I will show you how it's done. But certainly we could put something right on Pembroke Connect because I am the administrator of that and started that. We have 8,000 people who are on it, and we just say in search of somebody looking for a rental in Pembroke for, mm-hmm. you know, 55-plus, and you just give me all the details and send people your way.
For people like me that are not with it, how does one go look at Boston Connect? I assume that's a website.
Okay, so bostonconnect.com is my website, so that's where you're going to find all real estate stuff. But if you were on facebook.com, so you have to get a Facebook profile. Well, you might not even need one. But yeah, you do. So you'd have to make a Facebook profile, and then you would just put in the search bar while you're in Facebook, Pembroke Connect. So, and that would bring you onto that page. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Doc, why don't you, did you email?
Do I have an email yet?
Yeah,
Doc.
No, you don't have to give it to everybody on here. I'm going to have you send me an email.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm Sharon@BostonConnect.com. Send me an email with all the details, and I'll throw a post up on Facebook for you, okay?
Sharon@BostonConnect.com.
Yep. Just make sure you give me all your contact information, and I'll throw something up.
Can you let me give people the phone number here?
Sure, certainly. Go ahead.
Yeah, the phone number for any senior looking for a place would be 781-826-8888.
Perfect. And what is it, a one-bedroom?
It's a two-bedroom cottage, 1,000 square feet, and it's surrounded by flower gardens, and it's guaranteed to be peaceful and quiet and very scenic.
What town?
It's in Pembroke.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's writing notes.
And the funny thing about it, historically speaking, is it used to be a cow barn, and therefore the stairs leading to the bedrooms are steep. So unfortunately, that makes it not suitable for some seniors that navigate steep stairs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of its limitations.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to find somebody for you, so you can send me that information. Why don't you give that phone number one more time, Doc? So if you are a senior and you're looking for a two-bedroom, but you're very capable of doing and handling stairs at this moment, maybe you're a snowbird, which we have lots of those in this area, give Doc a phone call at
781-826-8888.
Perfect. And when you want to get rid of that phone number, I want it. So there we go. All right, Doc. Well, have a great morning, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Sharon. You do such great work.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So that was Doc, and he has a rental. So if you need more information about that, you can give him a buzz. We're still talking about cracks here and all kinds of other water penetration type issues that go on. What are some of the other key points with the final moments that we have here that you really want to get across to people?
A lot of people think that these cracks are such a big deal, and they have a lot of anxiety around them.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing is to call me. We'll find out if it is a big deal, if it isn't a big deal. And let me put it this way. 98% of them are not structural repairs, and they can be repaired for under $650.
Yeah, and that's why I think I always recommend to people, first of all, you are, when you say don't worry about things, I can imagine that comes out of you. You are cool like a cucumber, my friend. Like, you know, you're like almost one pulse short of being flatlined over here. So you're just so calm, cool, and collective, which is great. That's who you want taking care of your cracks when you have things going on and water coming in. Because honestly, you remember the boy who put his thumb in the dike there, right? It just doesn't, the whole thing just come crashing down. So
and I'm just over here cracking up.
You're so funny, Bob. You must hear it all the time. See, we think we're hilarious. Rich, so much, not so much. He's like, I've heard them all, my friends.
I'm looking for a new one.
Yeah. So, again, we have a few minutes. If you do have a call about any type of water penetration going on in your basement, foundations or such, 781-837-4900. One of the two points I want to get across. If you are a home seller and you are thinking about putting your home on the market and you have one of these, you know, cracks, you just said it's not a big deal. What about if people come out, how much do you charge to go out and just sort of look at something like that?
Most of the time we can do that right over the phone by using technology.
Yeah.
I can tell you what it is 90% of the time.
Okay.
One thing that we didn't go over is we also once in a while run into foundations, maybe poured concrete or cinder block.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a belly, and it looks like it's going to come pushing in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can stop that from happening.
Okay, explain to me how.
How? We used weave carbon fiber blankets that are structural, that are 10 times stronger than steel. And it isn't like you have to take down the whole foundation. It will stop it from moving anymore. This weave carbon fiber structural is used on bridges. You've seen bridges with the pillars coming up where there's steel showing.
Yeah.
The engineers spec it where the steel's cleaned off, concrete is put on, and then weave carbon fiber is wrapped around it because it's 10 times stronger than steel.
My goodness. You know, because I'm thinking about a house that I actually was the buyer's agent on, and in the garage, it was a garage under, and the wall to the left was undergrade. So, and that was under the porch, which was, you know, upstairs. So there was dirt, and it was like, you know what I mean? So how would you, it was all coming in, like you just said, the belly. I knew exactly what you meant, because this is exactly what was happening to that. So I don't know, the answer we got was, to do it properly, you would have to dig out all that dirt to make sure that it wouldn't come crashing in.
No, depending on how big the belly is, we can put weave carbon fiber blankets, straps up and going up and down,
yeah,
at certain feet apart, and it will stop it from moving anymore. It won't straighten it out,
yeah,
but it will stop it from moving anymore. Stop.
And how expensive is something like that?
Well, say 20 feet would probably run under $3,000.
Okay, well, that's perfect. I think that's amazing. I'm glad you brought that up. We were talking about the Lally columns earlier too. Yeah. That's about $775 to $850. So, you know, not a really expensive thing to get done if you need it done the right way, by the way. That's the important part there. Okay, in regard to anything else that you want to sort of bring up, or any other final thoughts that you have for some of our listeners?
We answer the phone from 7 in the morning till 9 at night, 7 days a week. So when these issues come up, if you're looking at real estate, don't dwell on it. I don't want you to lose sleep. Give us a call right then and there.
Yeah. You know, and I'm really glad that you said that, because I am going to definitely put your name and number. I think you're already in my phone, but I want to get your cell phone number, because a lot of times, like, you know, my daughter found a bug up in Vermont. She took a picture of it. I sent it over to Rich Weppert from Ehrlich, who's one of our co-hosts, and he's like, don't worry, it's not a bed bug. And then the mold guy that comes on with us too, Andy Provotola, he's great. I send him pictures of things, and he's like, it's not really a concern. Have them power wash it. So now you're going to be on my list of things to do, and I might be sending you something a little bit later in the day today, just so you know. How can people get in touch with you?
And my direct cell phone number, you can reach me anytime, is 978-771-8827. That's 978-771-8827. And any number that's on, you can get me through the web. Take a look at that. A lot of information there.
Okay.
It all will ring to, if nobody's in the office, it will ring to
right
me.
To you. And A1FoundationsCrackRepair.com. Bob, real quick, I'm sorry the music is going, but you have an event, Navigating Home Buying
December,
and Home Selling?
Yes, December 1st, I'm doing a seminar, another seminar similar to the one I did during the summer at the Adams Center in Kingston. It's designed specifically for boomers who are thinking about moving on, right sizing, and their adult children. Give me a call at 781-856-6714.
One more time?
781-856-6714 to reserve a seat.
All right, thank you. Perfect. And it's free?
Absolutely free.
Perfect. Great. Well, I am Sharon McNamara, broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Prayers for Paris. Have a great day.